stressed out and need a little bit of a timeout, you've heard me talk about floating KC before, but I want to give you some more details. If you're thinking it might be a little tank and you're worried about being claustrophobic, no, that isn't the way this works. These are float rooms, zero gravity float rooms. You can check it out. They're in Waldo in Kansas City, and find out more at floatingkc.com. Overstressed, need a little extra TLC, relaxation, no interruptions, no sounds, completely, totally stress-free. Try Floating KC.
We've got your news right here. KCMO. Online at kcmotalkradio.com. KCMO.
The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of Cumulus Media and FM 103.7 and AM 710 KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious.
I can't believe it. Where's the turkey? Oh, yeah. Gone. Maybe not. Hi there. Hope you had your coffee this morning. Ready to go? I found out some good reasons to like coffee. More good reasons. Now, we don't know if this is fact or fiction. You know, all that fake stuff's floating out there, but I'm going to go with fact, okay? Because I like coffee. And if you like coffee, that's why you're up this time of the morning. It helps. It says it might be keeping you healthy and fit. And of course, this is one of those, you know, 42 reasons why coffee might be your healthiest habit. Well, that's one. It's keeping you healthy and fit. Maybe that's two. Fighting disease and keeping you slim. All right, so basically what's going on here on this wonderful little 43 slides. Now, obviously one is a advertisement because it's only supposed to be 42. So I went on to slide 20 because I have short attention span. Improve metabolic rate. Okay, so if you add the little cup of caffeine in your morning, you can boost your fat burning machine and boost your metabolism and keep yourself thinner. It hasn't worked, but hey, that's what they say, so maybe I'll keep trying. And I went on to number 23, boosted brain function. I could deal with that. So just boosting the health of your brain, according to this, can be as simple as adding that coffee to your regular routine. So you can boost your energy and think smarter too. Maybe not smarter, but your brain will be busier. And I got tired after that. So much. If you want to see the 42, I'll put the links on wendyscoffeehouse.com. Okay, hey, thanks for listening. I've got some fabulous guests today. The Atlantean Chronicles.
We're listening to right now.
Hey, wait.
Yeah.
Wait. Are you guys, I'm here in the background. I've got some fabulous guests, and we're going to make them hold on for a little bit more because I have a few more things to talk about. But the Atlantean Chronicles, my guests, as you heard, Kip Hartzell and Tom DeHay, and these guys they already had book number one, which is dynamite. If you have not had a chance to read this, smashwords.com. Book number two is coming out. After you hear this, you're going to have to read book number one, so you'll get all caught up. The workshop they were having, they got a call to the fire department and said, hey, look, the building's on fire. This is in McKees Rocks, PA. Apparently, the thing, there's fire from the third floor, and the firefighters did find flames when they got there. They said it was a group of 25 people learning how to eat fire. You know, the circus firefighters guys? Yeah, so it was actually legit. And they said it probably it could cite them for not having a permit to do that. That's pretty much all they could do, and no word on how the fire eating went. Okay, yeah, about the turkey we were talking about. This is, you might have thought about this in passing as you were passing the dressing. This is a turkey who is an emotional support pet. A really cool turkey. You can see the video. Sammy. Sammy is 6 months old, and Sammy is just as good as her dogs or cats, except she's really very, very attached to Turkey Sammy and wants to make, so that his life is spared, wants to make the dog a therapy pet. She said, I never thought about having a turkey as a pet, but now I have her. I don't ever want to give her up. I'm sorry, Sammy. I called you a meal. Okay, so Sammy is a girl pet. Turkey. Anyway, the thing about this is they don't have any regulations. emotional support animals don't have to do they don't have to do the kind of things that service animals actually do. So this is probably one of those little limbo laws that's going to be changed here eventually. If you're looking for your Christmas gifts, the creepy new Santa Cam is out there. And if you have not seen this, this is the one that is watching everybody, not just the kids, but it's the a bold new adventure into Santa Cam stalking. Stalking stuffers. Got it? Okay, never mind. Moving on. We'll put that on the website too. But yeah, it's like a Christmas ornament. And this is what this is. I like to keep a very close eye on you, so I've installed some cameras that link up to me at the North Pole, is the letter that comes with this little Santa Cam stalker unit. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? Okay, well, so because Santa Cam could stalk anybody anywhere with any ornament at any time, and I don't know how that would work. All right, the UFO fleet's leaving the moon. People think it's an alien base. Of course, these are the UFO guys who follow this intensely, and apparently there was a fleet leaving the supermoon, which is why it was obvious. We're going to take a break because leaving the moon and super fleets and UFOs is basically what the Atlantean Chronicles covers. All right, coming up next on Wendy's Coffee House.
Lights flickering, feeling an occasional draft. Afraid to go to the basement because it smells too ghastly. Let Eric's Energy do a whole house energy assessment to locate the energy draining skeletons in your closet. Install quality conventional solar, geothermal, or other energy saving technologies for a happy, comfortable home. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. ericsenergy.com. That's ericsenergy.com.
Unchain, unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast quarter of College in Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Wendy's Coffee House, 6 a.m. Saturday morning, Talk Radio KCMO. My next guest, Dr. Georgina Cannon. She's an author, a teacher, a regression therapist. Do you believe in past lives? She does. She says if you have a trauma in a past life, it can affect the present. And what she does is help you go back to heal that and get rid of the issues in the present. We're going to find out how that works. The book, Return Again, about past lives and healing, with Dr. Georgina Cannon on Wendy's Coffee House. You miss it, catch the download at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Come join us for some holiday cheer in Weston. Invite your friends to warm up in style by celebrating the tradition of high tea in Weston, Missouri. Stick out your pinky finger and join us December 3rd in the upstairs tea room above the Main Street Galleria for the yummy food, comfy chairs, and festive holiday decor. The Duchess of Bedford would be proud. Visit westonmo.com or download the Weston mobile app for details and check out our calendar for other special holiday events. Happy holidays from Weston.
Hey, baseball and softball moms and dads. Want to help your superstar stay in the game? BTL Academy just opened a brand new training and development center in Shawnee. Open to individuals and teams, the 17,000-square-foot indoor facility boasts a regulation-sized turf infield, plus plenty of room for hitting and long toss. Coaches know it takes year-round training to be an accomplished athlete. Check btlacademy.com for a complete listing of skill camps, clinics, and indoor leagues. Compete in the BTL Indoor 6-on-6 Baseball or Softball League. Hitting, pitching, catching, and fielding. BTL private instructors are available to help players hone their skills and overcome any weaknesses in their game. In today's youth sports environment, there is no off-season. BTLacademy.com, because the game is played between the lines.
Your dog can analyze holiday kitchen smells 40 times better than you can. So if this talent leads to trouble, get him to Rock Hill Pet Clinic in Brookside. Rock Hill Pet is a full-service small animal hospital with in-house lab services, digital radiology and ultrasound, even progressive techniques like laser therapy and acupuncture, all to help provide your pet with a happier, longer life. Poultry bones are dangerous for pets. Get your furry checked out immediately if his nose leads him astray. Contact Rock Hill Pet Clinic at 816-333-0973 or visit rockhillpetclinic.com.
This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Pretty incredible, the story of the Atlantean Chronicles, sci-fi, and then some. I interviewed Kip Hartzell, and I think Tom was there too the first time around with the book number one. Book number two is out, and it's a slam dunk dynamite. You got to believe. You got to believe after you listen to these guys. Okay, Kip had the story from his dad. Okay, this is an incredible story, so listen close. And guys, I think you're both with me on the line. If somebody drops off, we're going to get you back. Just a warning ahead
sure.
of time. Okay, Kip, you're there, right?
I am.
And Tom?
Tom, right? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, excellent. All right, Kip, you just bring us up to speed on this, because this is a first-time listen for a lot of people about the Atlantean Chronicles.
Okay, we ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, well, 20 years ago, my father died. It'll be this February, back in 1997. Before the time he died, he had been suffering for over 10 years with leukemia. Well, it was lymphoma at the time. Long story short, near the end of his life, he started having, when I say the end of his life, I say 2-3 years into it, he had started dropping me some hints of some different stuff, which I just thought was kind of outlandish at the time. And he was talking about a book that he was planning to write and whatnot. But fast forward a little bit to his actual death, he had gotten sick. He was out on the road with Phantom of the Opera. He was their head stage rigger, and he was in Cincinnati at the time when I got the call that he was sick. So we flash forward a little bit farther along. It turns out that 10 years worth of chemo had chemo-induced leukemia. Mm. We got him back to Las Vegas, which is where the family was at the time and still is, what's left of us. And he went in for some pretty severe treatments and whatnot, bad prognosis right off the bat. The doc says he's probably not going to live through the treatments, trying to get the cancer out of his bones. He wanted to try anyway. Mm-hmm. He wanted to stick around for a little bit longer. So we went through that with him and whatnot, and the prognosis came back that it just didn't work. So, I was there at the hospital. I just started a job at a major airline at the time, and I'd only been there a couple months, so we went through the whole deal of me working and trying to be there as much as I could for him, and we got this bad prognosis. I'd been mentally preparing myself for many years to try to get, over this. I was still a young man at the time. I was about 24 years old when, knowing my father was not going to be around for much longer. So after they had done all that, he had actually asked me, he was at Sunrise Hospital in Las Vegas, and he'd asked me to go downstairs and grab some notebooks and whatnot, and I assumed what I was going to be writing was dictating his last will and testament, but instead he had started to tell me a past life progression story of his from the beginning to the end. So over the next several weeks, as we were in the hospital and spending every time I could with him, we would just kind of keep going in and out of this storyline right here, and he'd be unconscious 1 second, and then an hour later he'd wake back up, and he'd continue on with this story that he told me, and right till the end of it. So fast forward a little bit farther, we get to the end of the story, and he dies a day and a half later after going to the hospice.
So, okay, wait. So at the very end of the story, then he's done.
He's done at the end of the story. He died within 24 hours of finishing the story that he was telling me.
Okay, the cool thing about this is that this is the kind of stuff that if you were ever a fan of Stargate or Stargate Atlantis, this is kind of like, oh, good grief. What could he have possibly been doing to have this? Because you said this was part of his life and he'd been living it.
Yeah, it was a past life regression, and it was a life that he's lived many, many times over, and near the end of his life cycle, regardless of the era of time it was at the time, like, you know, this was 1997 when he last died, he would, within the last 4 or 5 years of his life, according to him, he would start to remember his past life from the beginning, or as far back as, you know, a long, long, long time ago. We're talking millions of years ago.
Okay, so let's get into the Atlantis part of this, because this is where it gets really fascinating.
All right, well, basically, the story is that it's about the origins of mankind and the roots of humankind here on this planet. Obviously, if you haven't guessed by now, Atlantis was not a continent. Atlantis was a spaceship, and it was not just a spaceship. It was a ginormous one. It covered continents. It was massive.
Okay. That's like a tease. All right. So when was this, before the dinosaurs?
It actually was probably not before the dinosaur, because he didn't really have a lot of dinosaurs talk into the whole thing. As a matter of fact, I don't even recall any of that. There was a lot of Greek mythology involved in some of the conversations, and dinosaurs, no, but can't be sure, you know.
Yeah, but they're dragons.
Well, there's all kinds of different stuff, but, you know, you got to figure what's from this planet, what's from not from the planet in the whole theme of things. You know, the storyline, just to give a little bit of the storyline out there, it's basically, it's people that inhabited the Earth back then were from somewhere else. There was a lot of stuff going on at the time. There was an enemy that they didn't know, and it was unbeknownst to them exactly who it was, but they'd kind of been eluding this enemy since leaving their dying planet.
Okay, and then plus they're also manipulating DNA and creating all sorts of new and strange beings on top of the ones that they're running into from other galaxies. And see, that's where this gets fascinating, how your father could continue this storyline without missing a beat as he's basically checking out.
Well, that was the interesting part of the whole deal. I mean, there was many things that happened in that hospital room during his conversation. He was pretty much reliving it, you know, in and out of consciousness, and I was pretty blown away. All I could do at the time was just keep writing down the highlights of everything that he was saying, try to capture as much as possible on it.
Okay, had anybody a clue about this? Because your dad had a really interesting life anyway. Did he tell anybody before this?
His wife, which is, you know, his widow now, she was a Japanese gal that he had met when he was over in Japan. He went over there when Siegfried and Roy went over for their Asian tour while the Bellagio was, or the Mirage was being built, excuse mm-hmm. me. He met her over there, and she was kind of, you know, into the New Age stuff and whatnot, and, you know, she knew about the story, but I don't think he genuinely shared the majority of it till the very end. I mean, she knew certain parts. There was a big taking to Sedona, Arizona. They would often go there, and he had some experiences there that, you know, he shared some of, not a lot. They're, you know, because of the PowerPoints and everything else, it was a huge energy area, and he had some waking visions there while sitting at breakfast at Bell Rock Inn and whatnot, you know. We believe that there's a PowerPoint there that's kind of like a beacon,
mm-hmm.
per se.
Well, yeah, I mean, for New Agers, there are vortexes and there are energy centers there, and there's at least 4 or 5, depending on who you talk to and what your source is. But with that, you're talking like what you're writing about in the book, and this would be more or less for an ET homing signal. And I mean, is that a good way to explain it?
It would be. It'd be a perfect way to explain it, because near the end of the book, Atlantis had to leave in a hurry. I'll give that part of it away, but there's a whole storyline in between that's crucial to every part of it. There's every section of their voyage to get here. There were some real key and critical parts in there that you'd actually have to read through the book to understand. We no way have enough time for me to try to explain it in an hour-long conversation.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of having a book. We have the fallback. Okay, that's the whole point.
From the time the original people left the dying planet to the time they got here, their knowledge and experience grew just extreme measures. I mean, it was they were nothing compared to when they got here. But even when they got here, they weren't powerful enough to fend off the enemy.
Well, and there's
they still ended up having to flee to save the civilization, or the vast majority of the civilization, because as we well know by now, many of us were left behind.
That's what we are, huh? The left behind.
The leftovers.
We kept saying that was somebody else, and that somebody else, that would be somebody else. Okay, so I'm talking with, and if you haven't had a chance yet to do the Google search while we're listening and while we're chatting, it's a book called The Atlantean Chronicles, okay? And with this, The Atlantean Chronicles, there's book number one, and that's what we're kind of referencing to, but book number two gets even more fantastic with continuing the story. And the co-writer, the person behind all of the heavy-duty writing, is also on the line with us. And fortunately, Tom, you're still there, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. Phone kept playing tricks on you. So, Tom DeHay, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. And you, okay, where did you pick this up at? Did you say, hey, I've got to write the book on this because this is slam dunk dynamite?
Oh, no. No, I'd never written anything other than high school. And Kip and I had been working together for a little while back in 96-ish. And that's where we met and where we had both relatively the same interests, you know, anything from sci-fi to video games to you name it.
Mm-hmm.
So we became friends pretty quickly. And it was, a year, several years later, he just, out of the blue, comes up to me and says, hey, have you ever written before? Well, no, not really. He goes, I got these notes that I'd like to, you know, produce into a book. And I'd like to have you take a look at it. And I said, well, sure, no problem. So he hands over this stack of notes to me, and I'm like, wow. I read through them, and I was just completely fascinated with the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And it just became more and more interesting and more interesting. And I was like, well, I got to give this a try. So I think that night I slept on it, and just the story just kept popping in and popping in. And I was like, God, I got to write this down. So I started writing, and I really couldn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
And the notes were, they were vague in a lot of areas, but we had, I talked about Kip's dad. My one regret is never having to met him.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had. But he had explained, you know, his life and all this stuff, and it was relatively easy to kind of fill in some of the blanks and move forward. And just had a great time writing this, and Kip, he did literally all the legwork on this thing, you know, everything from editing to, rewriting. No, I like this. This should go in here, and changing and doing all he could to make it come out the way he thought it should. And like I said, I really had a great time doing this. And I hope people enjoy it.
Oh, well, yeah. And I'm telling you, my husband and I, absolutely, it's so fun. This is, reading the first one was like a tease. And it has some parallels with, if you're familiar with Stargate or Stargate Atlantis, it has some. But it's also uniquely its own. And I really like the fact that it's tied in with Kip's dad, who said, hey, get the story published. All right, now we're going to take a break in a minute. But I also want to say, you guys, in writing this, both of you have the background of mechanics, working with airplanes, working with the kind of equipment, the technology that you're trying to fashion for people as they're reading this story. And I want to know, from your perspective and your background, how close are we to doing anything like this that you're talking about in terms of sci-fi? Okay, so keep that in mind, because we're going to take a break. And when we come back, you know, how far are we? And what's our timeline of meeting the ETs again, because if they've got the little plants on the planet where they can home in any time, and are they already here? Because your book kind of alludes to that at some point, that they might be here and we just can't see them. So many fascinating things about this, and usually it's somebody's, you know, it's all fiction, but with Kip's dad as the grounding source for this, It's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, you're listening. I'll catch you up on the Wendy's Coffee House blogspot. All right, so if you miss any of this, check that out. We'll put the links on it. In the meantime, we're going to get into book number two and the secrets and the stuff that might really be here and how possible some of this is with our current technology, Wendy's Coffee House.
At New Horizon Ranch, we believe that every child is capable of greatness. Over the last 10 years, unique programs, dedicated volunteers, and horse partners have helped children and adults of all ages improve physical strength, relational, and cognitive skills. Sometimes it's reading to our miniature horses, and sometimes it's riding. But it's always therapeutic and educational. Learn more about what we do and how you can get involved at newhorizonranch.org.
Give a gift that helps feed a city. The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income, underserved neighborhoods. To date, the Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree.
CBS News Special Reports. Fidel Castro is dead. And in Miami's Little Havana, celebration by anti-Castro Americans, and not just the older generation.
They said the young didn't care. Look at the young here. The future is of the young. Tyranny has no future. Liberty and freedom have all the future.
From CBS News Foreign Affairs Analyst Pamela Falk.
Castro's legacy is one of five decades of isolation and revolutionary change. He had contentious relations with 10 U.S. presidents and held a tight rein on his people, jailing dissidents and twice unleashing a mass exodus of Cubans to U.S. shores.
The body of the 90-year-old former leader is being cremated today. Those were his wishes. The first of 9 days of national mourning in Cuba. State funeral planned for Sunday, December 4th. Fidel Castro is dead at 90. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jim Taylor.
KCMO weather from KCTV 5.
The clouds will break up a little bit during the overnight hours. The winds will turn back to the southeast toward morning, and the low drops to a frosty 31 degrees. Thanksgiving Day, partly cloudy skies, not a bad day as the high returns into the mid-50s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Gary Gamble.
Come join us for some holiday cheer in Weston. Invite your friends to warm up in style by celebrating the tradition of high tea in Weston, Missouri. Stick out your pinky finger and join us December 3rd in the upstairs tea room above the Main Street Galleria for the yummy food, comfy chairs, and festive holiday decor. The Duchess of Bedford would be proud. Visit westonmo.com or download the Weston mobile app for details and check out our calendar for other special holiday events. Happy holidays from Weston.
Goats may have discovered its magical benefits first, but we humans caught on quick. Imported directly from the source, Revo Cup boasts authentic Ethiopian coffee beans hand-picked and naturally dried by the sun. Single-origin coffee beans gathered by Ethiopian families, expertly ground and brewed at Revo Cup. Isn't it time you experienced coffee as it was originally intended? Visit Revo Cup at College in Quivira and Revo Cup South 135th in Quivira.
Stop being drained by energy vampires. A full energy audit from Eric's Energy will expose the pesky problems plaguing your home. Weatherization, insulation, and other energy-saving technologies installed by experienced, reliable technicians will drive a stake through the heart of what's tormenting you. Call 816-537-5100 or visit us at ericsenergy.com. 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 Garlic optional.
When a nightlight speaks and only you can understand it, do you listen? Or pretend that your imagination is merely playing tricks? Talking to Nightlights is a revitalizing spiritual guide that follows a woman's inspirational journey to learn the power that can be harnessed by losing fear and suspending disbelief. Available now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com.
Hi, I'm Gerald McRaney. Is there anything you wouldn't do to live longer or feel better? Make a few simple changes in your lifestyle if you knew it could save your life. Take cholesterol. A high blood cholesterol level can cause strokes and serious heart disease, but exercise and simple changes in your diet can reduce cholesterol and make you feel better.
For your free booklet, visit the Will Rogers Institute at wrinstitute.org or call toll-free 877-957-7575 and find us on Facebook and Twitter. The Will Rogers Institute, since 1936.
Traffic and weather together first on the Fours and Kansas City's most stimulating talk all day. KCMO Kansas City. KCMO. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Why don't you talk into the microphone? I got a backup mic right here. Check, 1, 2. Testing, testing.
KCMO Kansas City.
To the Atlantean Chronicles, book number 2. Book number 1 is already out there. Book number 2 is on the way. So once you get hooked, you've got a reprieve, at least for a little while. These things are fabulous. Science fiction, but something else along with it. Talking with the co-authors. And one is the actual experiencer because his dad told him a story. And that's Kip Hartzell. And Tom DeHay is his buddy who said, oh, wow, gotta write it. If you're dreaming about it, it doesn't go away. That's your clue. Okay. So I asked before the break, what the technology that we have, since you guys both have background in airplanes and mechanics and all that good stuff, what are we even close?
I think we're getting there. I think the technology already exists. I think it's being suppressed and held under. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes along the storylines of suppressing the technology so we're not detected in the book series that we've put out there. But as far as in modern day and everything, I absolutely believe we're being visited. I believe that we've already made contact, and I think it's just a matter of time before it comes out to the general public. I think it's been suppressed because major religion wouldn't accept any of this type thing. You're going to basically uproot the fundamentals of society by saying, yes, we are not the only things out there. There is other galaxies, there's other planets, there's other species. There's a lot of stuff said about that, and I think the religious aspect of it has got to come to terms with it too. And I think the Catholics have already done that by basically saying it's okay to believe in ETs, and they'd welcome to worship our God at this point. So I think it's a matter of time before it's going to come back out.
Okay, I think I go with the movie stars or, you know, big name people who might have seen it. I love Dan Aykroyd. He says, yeah, they're out there. And I love John Lennon. He said, we saw one, and it was going right down, New York Avenue? I don't know. I can't do it. But then there was the other one, David Bowie. He said he thought he'd been visited, and he was getting his music from ETs. So that's just a little side note, just for anybody who's, you know. I think that stuff's fascinating. So, all right, have you, either of you, had a UFO experience?
I've seen a couple, actually, but I've never seen anything up close and personal. I was out at the lake several years back, and we had one buzzes, and it came over the mountain with no sound at all. Glowing green diamond shot over. It was about 30 of us saw it at one time.
Oh, good. You had company.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that helps. The people are like, oh, it was just you by yourself. Are you sure you didn't, you know, just have a few too many? Okay.
No, I think if you look at some of the special hearings they've had and whatnot with Congress and everything else, there's enough proof and evidence out there from everyone from politicians to astronauts to show that this is not just a hoax or a phenomenon. There's just as many hoaxes out there, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in the modern age of cameras, cell phones, on everything, there's a lot of stuff out there. I think people are getting more receptive to it.
Okay, so now with book number 2, there are a few more characters that kind of get... And you were talking about the fiction that would involve what we would think fiction, the giants, and the you know, you throw in Zeus, and his name is kind of Zeus-esque.
Well, there's a lot of fiction we did throw in the second part. You got to understand that my father touched on so many subjects in such a short amount of time, there was no way to go in depth with all of them. But, you know, from the religious aspects to the Greek aspects on back, he dropped enough hints where we wrote some of the storyline in there. Some of it was true, some was fictional, but when you go back this far into history, you got to pick up the pieces. And then it leads us into the third and final chapter of it, which is in work at this point, which kind of brings out the rest of it. And the outcome of the third and final chapter is unknown because it was an unknown when he told me.
What?
Which basically leads us into the Battle of Armageddon, which is not a religious battle, but kind of an interplanetary type battle.
Oh, it's the ETs.
yes.
Oh, this is when they come to decide whether they're going to get rid of us and take our planet.
Well, it's not so much as get rid of us and take our planet. They're still searching for Atlantis. As far as we know, they haven't found Atlantis. We don't have a way of definitely knowing, but that was what was alluded to, that they never were able to destroy or capture Atlantis when it fled.
Okay.
In the first book.
What's the draw for Atlantis? Why do they want it so badly?
I think because it was the closest thing that came to their level of technology, and they were trying to be the omnipotent ones in the galaxies, in the universes, as far as the technology goes. If you remember the first book, the place at which the Atlanteans received most of their knowledge was basically the same place that the enemy had done the same thing.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm getting a little motions. Take a break. We're going to take a quick break and pick up with that and find out what was so cool about the Atlantean technology, because that's where this storyline is fascinating, too. And we're not there yet, but the good thing is there's hope.
Your dog can analyze holiday kitchen smells 40 times better than you can. So if this talent leads to trouble, get him to Rock Hill Pet Clinic in Brookside. Rock Hill Pet is a full-service small animal hospital with in-house lab services, digital radiology and ultrasound, even progressive techniques like laser therapy and acupuncture, all to help provide your pet with a happier, longer life. Poultry bones are dangerous for pets. Get your furry checked out immediately if his nose leads him astray. Contact Rock Hill Pet Clinic at 816-333-0973 or visit rockhillpetclinic.com.
Hey, baseball and softball moms and dads. Want to help your superstar stay in the game? BTL Academy just opened a brand new training and development center in Shawnee. Open to individuals and teams, the 17,000 square foot indoor facility boasts a regulation sized turf infield, plus plenty of room for hitting and long toss. Coaches know it takes year-round training to be an accomplished athlete. Check btlacademy.com for a complete listing of skill camps, clinics, and indoor leagues. Compete in the BTL Indoor 6-on-6 Baseball or Softball League. Hitting, pitching, catching, and fielding. BTL private instructors are available to help players hone their skills and overcome any weaknesses in their game. In today's youth sports environment, there is no off-season. BTLacademy.com, because the game is played between the lines.
Stressed out and need a little bit of a timeout? You've heard me talk about floating KC before, but I want to give you some more details. If you're thinking it might be a little tank and you're worried about being claustrophobic, no, that isn't the way this works. These are float rooms, zero gravity float rooms. You can check it out. They're in Waldo in Kansas City, and find out more at floatingkc.com. Overstressed, need a little extra TLC, relaxation, no interruptions, no sounds, completely, totally stress-free. Try Floating KC.
Unchain, unwind at Rico's for lunch. Enjoy classic, tasteful Italian cuisine in a unique hideaway at the southeast quarter of College in Quivira. Ask about our daily lunch specials or enjoy a wood-fired pizza with a specialty salad. Our delicious lunch menu is complemented by a global wine selection, including 25 varietals served by the glass. Full menu featured at ricoskc.com. Join us for lunch weekdays at Rico's.
Wendy's Coffee House, 6 a.m. Saturday mornings on Talk Radio KCMO. Shows in the archives now include Doug Hayes. He survived an incredible accident that left him paralyzed from the neck down. He survived, recovered full mobility, and an ability to heal. Jeffrey Mishloff, the PK man. Ted Owens is deceased, but the legacy he left behind is incredible. Did he have extraordinary PK powers? The PK man. Ted Owens, Jeffrey Mishloff, that show also in the archives. Check him out at wendyscoffeehouse.com.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The storks are bringing me a baby brother! We can do this together!
All right, let's go!
Storks know how to keep kids safe. Do you?
What?
Oh my gosh, you don't know!
I know!
You don't!
Oh man, you laugh when you're uncomfortable.
No!
Making sure your child is in the right car seat is one of the steps to safer travel.
I will rock this!
You will rock this!
To know for sure that your child is in the right car seat for their age and size, visit safercar.gov/the right seat.
Cool. Very cool, very cool.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
FM 103.7 and AM 710.
It's outrageous. Shame on you.
KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Atlantean Chronicles, book number two. Book number one's out there, but we're going to get you ready to go with book number two. My guest, Kip Hartzell, certified airframe and power plant mechanic, been in the commercial aviation business for 20 years. And then we also have Tom DeHay. He joined the Air Force, worked as a crew chief mechanic on fighter jets, including the F-117 stealth fighter. He knows his stuff. These guys have a background. So when they're writing about this in the book, it's plausible for those of us who don't have all this background in aviation. Thank you. All right. So the Atlanteans have a lot of mind abilities. And you mentioned a few things. The Bermuda Triangle factors into this. The crystal skulls. Are any of those? Did your dad talk about that? Or is that also part of the storyline?
Oh, no. There's a lot that's actually real stuff that he talked about. I mean, the technology, as you would say, was a lot of psychic technology that worked with actual physical technology. So it pretty much enhanced your abilities, the technology they were using.
Okay, it's like the Neo on the Matrix, where they put the little brain booster helmet on him and he learns everything?
It's a lot of the same stuff right there. It has to do with the crystals that they used that were available elsewhere, not here on this planet. They were brought here by Atlantis, and they were brought from other places, such as the place where they received most of the knowledge that boosted at that time.
Okay, so with that, I mean, there's some fantastic stuff when we're reading. My husband and I are reading this going, what page you want? What page you want? It's like, oh.
So, yeah.
Just to say, Tom, you're doing a good job.
I was just going to say, I also believe in the suppression of technology because, like I said, I worked on the F-117, but I also worked it up at the test site, which is, some know it as Area 51. And they have that place pretty secured up. You can't go very far from one place to another. You cannot leave your designated areas and stuff. But while I was up there, I did see some impressive testing of other technologies, stuff like that. So, definitely. And this was in the late 80s. So,
oh, wow.
So for what we have now is we probably have some pretty advanced stuff, but they're not gonna let it go too quickly.
Well, and the large stuff you talk about, like the vessel the Atlanteans had, the Atlantis being a big ship the size of a continent, I don't think we're there yet.
Not quite, but for us, the suppression is basically in the form of money. You know, mm-hmm. We don't have enough money to do this. We don't have enough money to do that. So that's the basic crutch right there.
Okay, but it's already being done just somewhere else and off the books.
Most likely.
Basically. Most likely. Okay, so you think there's anything on the moon that they keep seeing, you know, these big, huge, like, blue spheres and UFO fleets? Do you think that's possible?
Oh, definitely possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
we had, during the Cold War, we had Russian astronauts in orbit around the planet, you know, waiting to push another button. And nobody's ever mentioned much about that, you know. Like,
well, that's crazy. Scary. That's scary. Why talk about it?
But on the story itself, the notes, like I said, towards the end, you could tell he was waning a bit, and it gets more vague and more vague towards the end. So, yes, a little bit of fiction and embellishment was involved, you know. But if you talk about his life and you understand, try to understand where he came from and stuff like that, then you can kind of fill in the blanks.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, for one thing, you have to keep the storyline moving and find a common theme and thread to carry it through. But reading it and knowing that your dad gave this to you and it's something that he believes he lived, and to be able to tie up some of that with his current life and past life, that's what makes it so, I think, astounding, is that he had the memory of it and was able to transmit that, you know, to you and say, look, hey, share this. Do you think he realized how much that he had, you know, given you at that point, or was he on?
Well, let me tell you, because I went through this with him at the time. When you're dealing with somebody that's dying to begin with, their thoughts and their lucidness kind of comes and goes. His didn't waver. His thoughts didn't waver. The story didn't waver. The entire 2 weeks that this went down, when he was giving me the story from beginning to end, he would pass out right mid-sentence during one part of it, wake up hours later, and start right back up for where he was. I have never seen that with any family member or anybody else I've ever dealt with that's dying at the time. Mm-hmm. They usually go off into left field, doesn't make sense, they repeat themselves. He didn't do any of this.
Well, and that's, the hospice nurses.
At one
nurses.
Point, while he was telling me the story, we're up on the third floor of a hospital building. He asked me who is standing next to this color truck downstairs in the parking lot, which I had to walk, you know, 15 feet over to the window to look down. There's no way, and there's no reflection, no mirrors or anything else. There's no way he could have known who was down there, what the vehicle would be down there, or anything else. It was a busy hospital. Vehicles come and go all day long. People come all day long. He described the exact person standing next to this vehicle down there in a second. So, you know, I got to put some credibility towards what he was experiencing.
Well, yeah, he sounds like he was in two places, like the shamanic state where you're in two places at once. He was able to keep consciously focused with what his body was doing and at the same time have an overview to make sure he had enough time.
I guess. It totally blew me out of the water. I mean, the whole experience, you know, I was a young kid at the time, basically, and here's this all going on, and then you throw little tidbits like that in, and basically when he gets to the end of the story, it was like, lights out, he's done.
Yeah. Okay, so did he give you any hints about your own past or present or how you were connected to him?
No. Not in any direct sense, anyway. The indirect sense is that we're all related, we're all from it. He was telling his story, his experience, and what he saw. Nothing really to do with the family or anything like that, just the Atlantean people. Some key characters in the stories, responsibilities and whatnot, but it was his past life regressions that were prominent during the whole thing.
What do you think he was hoping we would learn from it?
I don't know if it was a warning to the future. I don't know if it was a tale of the past, because the way the story ends, the way he ended the story with Atlantis is coming back. So it's not even he alluded to it, but he was with most certainty saying that the Atlantis is coming back and this will be rectified. And he alluded to the point of during my lifetime.
Ooh,
that
okay.
much I can tell you.
Okay. See, it's like, okay, it'll be in here in another 500 years. Oh, well, whoop-de-doo.
No, it was, we're going to see this.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay, well. All right. I guess maybe it'll take a few bags of potato chips before we get there, and probably another one of your books for sure.
Absolutely.
You said it's in progress right now. Okay, so Tom, how far along are you?
Okay, the book two is pretty much completed at the moment. We still need some editing and stuff like that, but the Atlantean Chronicles book two, Shadows of Enlightenment, sounds like. I've only gotten into about 30, 40 written pages into the book three, but book two still needs a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
And, should have it, hopefully have it out soon.
Okay. Book three is going to have some must-have chapters in there to finish his tale of what he told. So without going too far into it there, there's certain parts of history that still have to be told through book three and then bring us up to modern times.
Oh, man.
I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, well. All right. Smashwords. Is that the best way to pick up the books?
Smashwords, Amazon, Kindle. It's out there on everything.
Okay.
Book two will be released real soon, probably within the next month on all of the above. Book one is still out there, and it's still out there for free. If you go to the Atlantean Chronicles site on Facebook, there's a code on there you can get to and download a free copy right now. We're still building an audience with it.
Ooh, Merry Christmas early. Thank you. And it's worth a read. I'm telling you, this is it's better. If you are a fan of Atlantis, Stargate, those shows, this is better because it has a tangible, real life connection. And not only that, I like the ending. I think as long as the destroyers aren't part of it, let's hope we've upped our game a little farther from where it is right now, because right now we're kind of easy pickings.
Right.
Got to get that telepathy thing and that mental ability to levitate and, you know, throw things across the room by just going poof. That will help. Do you think, okay, we've got 3 minutes left. Do you think you are hoping to see this, or would you rather not be here for the return?
Well, I'd love to see it. You know, we both got kids and everything else. You know, you worry about the future and worry about all the other stuff that could happen out there. But absolutely, I'd love to see it.
See, I too.
Yeah, I'm not too. Yeah, I'd kind of like to see it, but it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some harsh times.
Well, it wasn't the Phoenix Lights because that was 1997. Yeah, so it's obviously past then, and it's really in that 1997 time period. If you talk about people who've had extraordinary experiences, there's a lot of connections with that. So I think it's interesting that your dad was right in the middle of leaving this last little footnote to give people a clue.
Well, I think it's interesting back in 1997 when those Phoenix Lights happened too. That, you know, he was already gone, and the vessel that the Phoenix Lights, everybody described right there, is real similar to what we described in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking, oh, there was a pickup. But that's the thing that I think when it is real and local and you have a tangible connection like a relative and says, look, I've experienced this, I saw this, I know this is happening, it brings the story home. And I think a lot of us would like to take that next step into beyond planet Earth to where are we going from here. And you guys paint a wonderful picture. But the Minotaurs and the Centaurs and the dragons with the DNA, I don't know, retro, whatever they're doing with the funky stuff with the DNA, that also throws a few monkey wrenches into the equation. That's my opinion. I don't want to be, you know, genetically engineered to turn into a dragon or a werewolf or a vampire. So,
well, I don't know. Some people might.
Okay, so did Tom, I know, was that your effort to kind of, you know, tweak the storyline?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, make it a little bit more interesting, make it more diverse.
Okay, well, put Bigfoot in the third book, because Bigfoot is missing. Okay, we're gonna have to check out, but I want to thank you both for making time to do the interview. And Tom, Kip said this was the first time you've done an interview, you passed with flying colors, okay?
Oh, thanks.
Yay. And the book is dynamite.
It's wonderful, Tom. See, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, see, no. Good. Yay. Let's get him started. All right, so the book is coming out. Obviously, you heard that you can get the download. One more time, it's on the Facebook page?
Yeah, you can go to the Atlantean Chronicles on Facebook, and you can get the link right off it. Book two, Tom, you want to introduce it one more time?
The Atlantean Chronicles, Shadows of Enlightenment.
Yay.
Soon.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing that before Christmas out there. We will keep the pages updated. Thank you so much for your time, Wendy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. If you're listening, Kip Hartzell, Tom DeHay, and you can check out the Atlantean Chronicles. It's a great story, and I'm looking forward to book number three because, yeah, I cheated. I've already seen book number two. Okay? It's fabulous, dynamite, just in time for holiday gift giving. If you missed any of the show, check out the download, the podcast. I'm going to update the links of the stuff we talked about. No, I'm not going to put all 42 coffee tips, all right? No, I'm just not going to go there. But it'll be on wendyscoffeehouse.com. And check out some of the shows in the archives, too. Got some dynamite shows in there. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful week, and we'll be back with more good stuff to cheer you up and get you going. Remember, stay curious. There's a whole bunch of stuff out there waiting to happen on Wendy's Coffee House.
Give a gift that helps feed a city.
The Giving Grove helps communities grow, harvest, and share healthy food by planting fruit trees, nuts, and berries at local Kansas City schools, churches, and in low-income underserved neighborhoods. To date, The Giving Grove has planted nearly 1,500 fruit and nut trees, which will provide over 180 tons of fresh food each year over the life of these trees. You can help by planting a tree. A donation of $50 pays for the tree, supplies, and community education needed for caring of the trees. Visit givinggrove.org to donate your tree. Wendy's Coffee House, 6 a.m. Saturday morning, Talk Radio KCMO. My next guest, Dr. Georgina Cannon. She's an author, a teacher, a regression therapist. Do you believe in past lives? She does. She says if you have a trauma in a past life, it can affect the present. And what she does is help you go back to heal that and get rid of the issues in the present. We're going to find out how that works. The book, Return Again, about past lives and healing, with Dr. Georgina Cannon on Wendy's Coffee House. You miss it, catch the download at Wendy's
Coffee House. FM 103.7 and AM 710. 101.1 KCFX HD2. Kansas City's most stimulating talk. KCMO.